Now, how many of you would say the Holy Spirit of God lives in me? All right, good. Then let's look back at verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Don't let the charismatic sell you a bill of goods that says you've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost after you've been saved. I got to tell you something. When you got saved, you had everything God had to offer given to you. And now the Christian life is a marvelous discovery of what all you got when you got saved. I've told this story so many times, it's getting old to me, but I love it. And your preacher will remember it well. We went to Korea as missionaries. We had four children. And I was beating the bushes, and this church stood behind me well, and I appreciated that. Always have and always will. But I was beating the bushes trying to raise enough money to move six of us to Korea to get a house furnished, much less to get a house. And all of a sudden, I got a phone call one day from a missionary in Korea. David Bowles was his name. And by the way, David Bowles is now in Kenya. He's been a great missionary in Kenya for many years. But he called me up and he said, "Brother Larry, you've got four kids." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I've got four kids. My kids are the same age as your kids." Now he said, "I've got a home here in Korea. It was built in California. It was dismantled by World Vision. It was shipped to Korea and put together again on the World Vision compound." And he said, "I've got a lease on this house made in America. I tell you what I want to do. I'll sell you my car. I'll give you the lease on my house. All of the furniture that's in my house, all of the flatware, all of the dishes, all of the towels, all of the sheets, we'll just walk out, lock the door, and it's yours for the grand total of $10,000. I couldn't have bought the car for that, much less ship all that stuff over there. When we got there, we found out that he had gone to World Vision and got a four-year supply for a family of six of toothpaste, of dishwashing, everything that Amway ever made. Our basement was loaded. We got there, and I heard shrieks of delight. First time in our kids' life, all four of them had a bicycle that fit. No, I'm serious. We got off the plane at Kimpo Airport in Seoul, drove our own car to our own house. I was thrilled to know there were four bedrooms, two full baths. There was a nice family room downstairs, a beautiful kitchen, a great room, a living room, a dining room. Why, it was a nice home. My wife sobbed to me one day. She said, "Honey, look, all these forks and spoons and knives, and they match." She never had that in her life. The towels and the wash rags were the same color. And for weeks, we would go through the house and discover all over again all of the things that we got. I've likened that to the Christian life. When I got saved, I got everything God had to offer in Christ. And the Christian life is a journey where I simply discover all of the good things that God did for me when he saved me. And it's all there because of him, not because of me. And none of it is there because I deserve it. It's all there because Jesus paid for it and makes it available to us. And so, there is no condemnation. Where was I in the book of Romans? Look there if you would. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And it's in Christ that we discover all of this marvelous stuff. Now, one of the things that defeats a lot of Christians is trying to understand Romans 7. Have you ever waded through that and tried to get a handle on it? Romans chapter 7. It goes through it kind of like this. Look at verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin but by the law, for I have not known lust except the law said thou shalt not covet. And on it goes. Look on down if you would. Verse 11. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and it slew me. And then look at verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Look up for just a moment. We get bogged down in that thing and read all of that. What I would, I don't do, and what I wouldn't do, that I wind up doing. What I want to do, I never get around to, and what I don't want to do seems to be there with me all the time. And I am just a spiritual mess. Every honest Christian would have to come to that. Folks, look back at Romans 7 again, would you please? And let me help you with that just a minute. Romans 7. Would you please look at verse 1? What does it say? Know ye not, brethren? For I speak to them that what? Know the law. Who is that? That's the Jews. So what is this great struggle that's pictured in Romans 7? It was the Jew trying to be made righteous through his own self-effort, trying to keep the law. I want to tell you something. That will result in nothing but frustration because the law was never given to be kept. The law was given to show you what? That you're a sinner. And so if you try to become righteous by keeping even the Ten Commandments, which is a minor part of the law, frustration is the only result. But if you will look into that looking glass called the law, and it shows you a countenance with some problems, that's where you need to come, because from there it becomes your schoolmaster to take you to Christ to have those problems solved. What am I saying? Capitulate and just do what's wrong? Not at all. But fix it correctly. Go on in Romans 7 down to the end, would you please? Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Now here's the conclusion. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, and this is in the past tense. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The body of this death was the struggle of the flesh to be made pleasing to God by keeping the law. Now, most of us don't try to keep the law of Moses. We try to do one-upsmanship and make our own law. So we say, if I read my Bible every day, and if I pray for at least 30 minutes every day, and if I tithe plus give an offering, and if I'm faithful in church, then surely God is really happy with me. Oh yeah, we got to throw in some domestic relationships and some, you know, employee-related relationships and say, if I got all these ducks in a row, then surely I'm doing pretty good. If an attempt to keep the perfect law of God can't make you righteous, why do you think you can write one better than God did and be made righteous? What we wind up doing is putting a burden on the flesh that it is unable to cope with. And the result should be we come to the end of ourselves. For all of Romans 7, if you have a Scofield Bible, you will find out is an attempt to be made holy by the law. And when you get to the end of it, it says, oh, wretched man that I am. In frustration, we cry out to God and say, man, I'm not pulling it off. Who can deliver me from the body of this death? And I believe the body of death referred to here is the law, but some say it's the Adamic nature with which we're saddled. I don't care which way you interpret it. I just care that you read verse 25 that says, I thank God that I've been delivered through Jesus Christ my Lord. I don't have to look at observances and times and days and occasions in order to be made pleasing to God. I've been declared righteous by the finished work of Jesus Christ. And who can deliver me from this awful struggle? Thank God Jesus Christ delivered me 2,000 years ago when he paid my sin debt in full. And when all of a sudden he bowed his head and said, it is finished. Thank God he didn't lie to us. But when he said it is finished, that meant everything necessary to make me acceptable to a holy God had been done. And now my problem is just by faith accepting that and living in all of the blessed freedom that it gives me. I thank God that it's been done through Jesus Christ. So then, with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Did you know that your flesh, that's your body that you walk around in. This old body longs for things it hadn't ought to have. The lust of the flesh, have any of you ever heard about that? That's what makes you reach for that second helping of taters when one's been enough. I know most of us, when we talk about lust of the flesh, want to talk about, you know, sensual type sins. But in the scripture, the two classic examples of temptation, one was in the garden. Remember the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life? What was the lust of the flesh in the garden? Yeah, it's going to be awful good to eat. How about Jesus when he was on the Mount of Temptation? What was it there? Did Satan run out a pretty girl in front of him? No. He said, you haven't eaten for 30 days and 30 nights. There's some stones. Why don't you turn them into bread and eat them? Well, say amen. You say, now, this, I don't like this kind of preaching. But, I mean, even if you're lumping it, just agree with me a minute, will you? Humor me. This flesh wants to be made happy. Now, your body, soul, and spirit. The spirit is God conscious. The soul is body conscious. And so it's always there to try to appease the flesh and give you what you want to have. And so when the Bible says, but with the flesh, the law of sin, that means I'm prone to wander. The lust of the flesh would go to illicit drugs. It would go to alcohol. It would go to excessive addictions of every kind. It would go to food addictions. It would go to all kinds of stuff. We don't have to live under that control and condemnation. We have been set free from that. I don't have to let this body tell me what to do. Did you ever hear Freddie Price this morning? I happened to get him as I went through the TV, and I don't recommend him, so don't say I endorse Freddie Price. I don't. But he said something that was kind of cute. He said, this body is not me. Me lives in this body. This body is not me. So this body has no right to tell me what I'm going to do. Me will tell this body what to do. Well, you know, that makes sense. But even if the body controls, I'm still free from condemnation. Because all of my sins, past, present, and future, have been dealt with by the blood of the Lamb. And so when you get to verse 1 of chapter 8, the therefore is, because Jesus Christ has taken care of it, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And so the question is, are you in Christ? And how did you get placed in Christ? Well, look at 1 Corinthians 15. Down along about verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. By the way, by what man did death come? Adam. By what man did the resurrection come? Christ. Therefore we conclude in verse 22 that in Adam all what? Die. But in Christ shall all be made alive. And if I'm alive unto God, thank God I can know my sins are gone. I have been reconciled to God by faith in not what I'm doing, but by faith in what He has done for me. And so when I come to a passage that says, there is therefore now no condemnation, when I come to a passage like John 5:24 that says, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, let me take you on the last step here. I pass from death. Who does the Bible say in Adam all what? Did you know I was born in Adam? Did you know you were born into the Adamic family? As a matter of fact, you were born alive physically, but dead spiritually. In Adam, everybody dies. But in Christ shall all be made alive. How did I pass from death to life? You can say a spiritual birth, you can say redemption, you can put it in a lot of words, but let me put it so that we can all understand it. The thing that had caused my death was sin. Sin had caused separation from God.